Today, here in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Kesubos, Daf Yud Dalet. We begin about 10 lines down or so from the top of Yud Dalet Amud Aleph with the words Romi Le Abaye. Now, the Girsa we have is Lerova, but the Masoras HaShas says it should be to Rabba. So, we remind ourselves in yesterday's year we've been having a machlokas between Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Eliezer versus Rabbi Yoshua as to whether the woman is believed or not when she makes certain tainos. And Rabbi Yeshua's opinion was that the woman is not believed. If she says she closeted herself away with a certain person, she was midaberes, in the case of midaberes, or in the case of miuberes, and she says that the person she was closeted away with, or the person that she had become pregnant from, was a kosher person. In other words, she would not become psula l'kuhuna if she had had relations with him. So Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Eliezer both say that she's nemenis, and Rabbi Yeshua says, lo mipia anu chayin, we don't live from her mouth, and she's not nemenis. So the Gemara now questions this. Again, about 10 lines down from the top, Yud Dalet Amud Aleph, with the words, Romi le Abaya le Rabba, it should be. So Abaya asked Rabba the following question. Umi Omar Rabbi Yeshua ain't on a menace. Is this really right that Yeshua says, Mi pio ain't on uchayin? Is that right that he doesn't believe this woman? And Rashi has a critical point over. He says, Almo, we see from here that Rabbi Yeshua doesn't believe lo mukmin in lo achazaka, that we can rely upon a chazaka. Her chazaka before this incident occurred was that she was muteris likahuna, that she wasn't psula likahuna. So when Rabbi Yeshua says that the woman isn't believed, he is in addition saying that we don't rely upon her status quo. We don't rely upon her chazaka. But that seems to go against the following Mishnah, which is from Edius. Reminu, we ask the following Shaila from this Mishnah in Edius, where Yehoshua clearly does say we rely upon the chazaka. And that was a testimony. Edios is a series of testimonies that the great Gedolim gave when they opened up the Beis Medrash, the famous machlokes between Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Yeshua, as to whether you could or could not allow people to enter into the Beis Medrash. Rabbi Gamliel was very, very strict and said only Tocho Kibara, only people that really were top-notch people could enter the Beis Medrash. And then when he was deposed, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah was given for a temporary period of time the Nesias, so then they opened up the Beis Medrash. And on that day, Bo Bayom, many, many great controversies were resolved, and many great Tanoim gave their testimonies as to what certain dinim was. So that's Masechta Edios. So in any event, Hayid, in that Masechta, we have this Mishnah that Rabbi Yeshua, our Rabbi Yeshua, and as well Rabbi Yehuda ben Seira, these two great Tanoim, they testified al almonas isa, an almona who had a suffix attached to her, whether she was or was not permissible to marry the kahuna. Isa comes from the lotion of dough, and Rashi points out, at the very end of a long Dibra Maslu, Trey Sveike, so he says that this Lashon of Lahochikor Lo Isa, Sheeshba, Eruve, Sveikos, Harbe, Ki Isa, Zu, She, Belusa. So he basically is comparing this woman's multiple suffix over here to a dough that has multiple ingredients mixed up within it, and therefore that's this Lashon of Almonas Isa, an Almona who has a suffix attached to her. What is the suffix that we attach to her? So Rashi, all the higher up on the page in the Dibra Maslu, Almonas Isa, says that the case was as follows. The person who's presenting in front of us now, this woman now, has a checkered history in terms of her lineage. What is that? So Rashi says, Shehiba, this woman comes now, Mikoach Sofek Cholol, is to, whether or is she not, the wife of a Cholol. Her husband passed away. Is the question whether her husband was the child of a product of a Cholol, which would make her, if she married a Cholol, Asura Likuhuna, Psula Likuhuna. Now, what's the case? Shenitma ba sofek cholol. It was intermixed in her lineage over here a question of whether she had been married to a sofek cholol or not. Kigon, what was the case? Shezorak bal imo, the husband, so the man's mother had been possibly divorced from her husband. Shebal imo, the first husband that we were dealing with over here, gave her a get. Zorak Bal Imo Horishon, her first husband, had given her a get, but it's not clear. When he threw this get at her, Sarklagate, Sofe Korov Lo, Sofe Korov Lo. So we'll call this man Reuven. So Reuven had gotten divorced from this woman, possibly. He had thrown her a get, and this get, it wasn't clear, did it land closer to her, and then it would be within her Dalet Amos, and she would be divorced. It came into her possession, was in Rishus HaRabin, so it goes within your Dalet Amos. And question was, no, it still was within his Dalet Amos, and therefore she's not divorced. And then he dies. Umes, Reuven dies. So now this widow, we'll call her Rachel, this widow, it's unclear, is she or is she not a widow, or is she not a divorced woman? And her husband didn't die while they were married. He died after he divorced her. So now, if she's a Gerusha, she's not allowed to go marry a Kohen. The name says Usafe Gerusha. Turns out now, she's a Safe, whether she was a Gerusha or Safe Kamana, or whether she was a widow, and she's Muteris LeKohen. And then she marries a Kohen, Vinisa LeKohen. She now marries Aharon. And now she's married to Aharon, but it's a possibility that she's not allowed to be married to Aharon. Possibility she is allowed to be married to Aharon. Vaholi b'meno ben. And now she has a child. This child is Pinchas. So Pinchas, this Pinchas is a Safek Cholol. It's a question, is he or is he not a Cholol? And now he marries the next woman, the woman that we're talking about now. He marries Leah. And the Hayid, Rabbi Yehoshua, and as well, Rabbi Yehuda ben Maseira, al-Minoso Shelzeh, the widow of this guy. This Pinchas marries Leah, and then Pinchas dies. She Kshera, is she or is she not Kshera to marry Kahuna? If her husband was the child of a Cholol, then he becomes a Cholol as well. And therefore, as a result, she would be forbidden to marry a Kohen. However, if, in fact, he wasn't the child of a Cholol, she was, in fact, permitted to marry that Kohen, so then there is no problem with her marrying a woman, then he dies, and that woman is an almana, and she's allowed to go marry a Kohen. So what do you see? Hayid, Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Yehuda, B'Seira, al-almanas is, so about this woman of unclear status, Leah, she herself is unclear whether she was married to a Cholol, Pinchas, and in this situation, Pinchas was unclear whether he was the son of a Cholol when his father, Aaron, it was unclear whether he was permitted or not to marry his wife, Rachel. So in this situation, they testified, Rav Shua and Rav Shua and Sarah testified about this almana in front of us now, Leah, a double Safek, she Kshera LeKahuna, that she was in fact permissible to marry into the Kahuna. Why? Because her Chazaka was that until now she was permitted. Before she married her husband Pinchas, she was definitely permitted to marry into the Kahuna. And just because there's a Safek as to whether Pinchas is a Cholol or not, that shouldn't ruin it. Yeshua, our Rabbi Yeshua says, her Chazaka stays there. Alma, what do we see? That Rabbi Yeshua holds from Chazaka. So how come in our case, in our Mishnah, he doesn't hold from Chazaka? So that was the question that Abaye asked the Rabbah. And Rabbah responds and says the two cases are incomparable. Amar Leh, Rabbah says to Abaye, Halchi Hashta, are the two cases comparable? No. Hasam, in the Mishnah, in Edios, dealing with a woman, deciding, does she want to get married to this guy or not? So Rabbah says, she obviously checked it out. Isha Nisei, she's only going to get married, Bodekes Venisei. She's only going to check it out and make sure that it doesn't ruin her status. So she must have checked out. We have a machlokes among the poskim in understanding Rashi. Who checked it out? Was it that this woman now is coming before us had checked it out? In other words, Leah, who's coming for us now, before she married Pinchas, she investigated and saw that Pinchas' mother was in fact perfectly permissible to marry Pinchas. Or was it that Pinchas' mother had checked it out? In any event, somebody had checked it out, and therefore there's no way that the lady in front of us, Leah, would have gotten married if it hadn't been checked out. And that's why, in that situation, Rabbi Yeshua, as well as Rabbi Yehuda ben Maseira, had said it was permissible for her to be believed in her chazaka. But in our case, Hocha, where we have the woman who was Nistara, so then, Isha Mezana, Bodekes Mezana, there's a woman who's going to engage in an illicit relationship. Does she check it out to make sure that she's only engaging in an illicit relationship with somebody that is kosher? As Rashi says, Loshem Bismillah. No, she's having relations that are not permitted. So Mislama, her cheskas kashrus is totally gone. So that explains why Rav Yehoshua in the Mishnah Edius accepts her cheskas kashrus, and over here he doesn't. Amar Rava, Rava says, wait a second. The Rav Yehoshua kasha, the Rav Gamliel, other Gamliel, lo kasha. What, you only had a problem over here with the seeming conflict between Rav Yehoshua. What about the seeming conflict between Rav Gamliel? In our Mishnah, Rav Gamliel says we believe the woman, but in Edius, Rav Gamliel says that we don't believe the woman. So there's another steer over here. You have to address that too. Because it says in the end of that Mishnah, in Edios, Hoktani Seifa, Amalan Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Gamliel said to Rabbi Yeshua and to Rabbi Yehuda Mimisera, yes, Kibalnu Edo Seichan. As Rashi says, Ne'monim Atem Lanu, Shekach Shematem. We're not doubting that you heard this. You're testifying that you heard this from your Rebbeim, so we, of course, accept what you're saying. However, that's irrelevant, because Abu Manase Shahare Gozar Rabbi Yochanan Ben Zakkai Shelo Lahoshiv Beis Din Al Kach. Because even though what you're saying is true, and that may have been what the codified accepted halacha was, Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai had said that when you're dealing with Kohanim, you have to be very, very careful. The Kohanim are very, very strict about lineage. And if we paskin that Likula, the Kohanim aren't going to follow us, and that's going to be a Zilzul based in. So if you were paskin L'chumra, so then Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai said you can paskin for the Kohanim L'chumra, but not Likula over here. When it comes to lineage, they were very strict. And therefore, Shah Kohanim Shomim Lehem L'Rachek Avolol L'Karev. And this would be a Zilzul based in if you were to paskin over here, like Rabbi Yoshua and Rabbi Yehuda Masera had said they had a Masora from their Rabbeim, that this woman was in fact permitted to marry into the Kahuna. The lay in front of us was not considered to be a child of a questionable lineage, but we paskin in fact that her lineage is acceptable and she married a Kohen, so the Kohanim aren't going to listen. And that will lead to a Zilzul in basin. So Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai said, don't accept this Psak Halacha. So what do you see? Rabbi Gamliel said that the woman is not Nemenis. We don't accept her Chazaka in this situation. He doesn't believe that she would go and Bodekes Benises, and therefore you have a stira. Rabbi Gamliel over there doesn't accept the Chazaka, and here he does accept the Chazaka. How can we only bothered by the stira in Rabbi Yeshua? So the Gemara says, El Omer, Rav, so Rav explains that both of them are in a kasha. The Rav and Galil and the Rav and Galil also, Nami, lo kasha, is also in a kasha. Because Hossam, here we use the term Hossam to refer to our Mishnah. Hossam, Bari, in our case, this woman says, I know for a fact who I was nisteris with. I know for a fact who I had relations with. And therefore, this is a case of Bari. Whereas in the case of the Mishnah and Edios, Hacha, Shema. That is a case of Shema. The woman doesn't know for a fact. We don't believe that she was Bodekes, Vinicesis Tosus points out in Dira Maskel, the Rishua, either Rishua Lokasha. And therefore, that's a Shema case. So, in a Bari case, Rabbi Gamliel says we can trust the woman and the Chazaka is maintained. But in the case of Shema, how can you say that the Chazaka still continues? And likewise, the Rishua, Nami Lokasha, and there's no stira in the two opinions of Rishua. Here in our Mishnah, Rabbi Yeshua doesn't accept the Chazaka, whereas the Mishnah in Edius, he does accept the Chazaka, because Hasam. Again, Hosam here means in our Mishnah, it's only Chad Sveika. The woman was closeted with one man, and we don't know the status of that man. Rabbi Yeshua says, if there's only one Suffolk, we can't rely upon her words. Ain't an Amenis, and the Chazaka isn't effective. However, Hocha, over there, in the case of Edios, as I pointed out, it was Trey Sveika. You had the original woman who married Aaron, Pinchas's father, and he was a Suffolk Chalal or not, and then you had the woman who married Pinchas, so it's a double Suffolk, Trey Sveike. Now the simple understanding of this is not the usual Svek Sveika. So that's a Svek Sveika because we have two Suffolks. That's not the normal understanding of Svek Sveika, but this is the first understanding that we have over here in Rashi, that in the Dibur Maskel, Trey Sveike, Emosha Suffolk Chalal Zeh, Bo, no, not a Suffolk. That's the mother of Pinchas, Aaron's wife, that was the first one that there was a Suffolk, the Aspelo Nesu Elmi Suffolk, and Aaron himself was the product of another Suffolk. So therefore, it's the two Svekos over here, and that's why it's called a Svek Sveka, but that's not the normal way. A Svek Sveka means, if this, normally we say, if this is a Suffolk, well, fine, but then there's also another Suffolk that is totally on that Suffolk. So therefore, Rashi brings down, Medivrei Yosef, Tuv Elam, Motsasi says a different definition for this Svek Sveka over here. And he says, Isha Shehoya Bala Svek Sveka, they're dealing over here with a woman, it's a double Suffolk, Kigon. Shinizgarsha Imo Mibala Rishon. As we said, the first case was a Suffolk, Korovlo, Suffolk, Korovlo. And that was the first Suffolk that we started off with. That was Reuven's wife, Rachel. It's a question, did he divorce her or not? And then, Umeis Besoch Shlosho Chadosh, he died within 3 months, the Havchana period of time that we mentioned many times in Yevamos. Then Nisus LeKohen, when she married Aaron HaKohen, it was Toch Shlosho Chadoshim. So now we have an additional Suffolk. So maybe she was divorced, maybe she wasn't divorced, and then maybe this is the child of her first husband who died, Reuven, or maybe this is the child of the new husband, Aaron. So this is a classical case of Svek Sveka. And over here, Rabbi Shua and Rabbi Yehuda ben Maaseh paskin that because it's a Svek Sveka, we are allowed to go and believe her status of being Chazaka, that she's Reuya Lekahuna and not Psula Lekahuna. And the Gemara explains this inside in more detail. Hilkach, the bottom line is, Li Rabban Gamliel, according to Rabban Gamliel, Alim Le Bari, our case where she's definitely saying, I know who I slept with, this person is not going to make me Psula Lekahuna, so therefore, we are so strong in this concept of Bari that Afilu Bechad Sveker Nami Machshir, even though there's only one safe Suffolk over here, did she or did she not sleep with the man that she's saying? we believe her because she is a definite statement. Bari, I know who I slept with. I know who I was alone closeted with. Vekile, however, in the case of the uncertain status, the case in Edios, Shema dafilu besvek sveka nami paso. When she's giving the tain of Shema, even in a case of svek sveka, a double suffik over here, like the first pshat Rashi, or like Rav Yosef Tovelim's pshat, that it's a classical svek sveka, we don't believe her to retain the status of chazaka because she's only a Shema. So that's how far Rav Leo goes. A bari can defeat even one suffik, whereas a Shema can't defeat even a svek sveka. As opposed to Rabbi Yeshua. The Rabbi Yeshua, he says, no, al mechad sveka, the strength of one suffik is so strong, dafil b'bari nami pasul, that it can't overrule her bari status. So that's our Mishnah. The Rabbi Yeshua says, einon emenes, mipia einon uchayin. However, he does say that a svek sveka, the kile svek sveka, the svek sveka has the ability, dafil b'shema nami masha, even though it's the case that she's not sure. She doesn't go and check it out. He doesn't believe Bodekas when he says. Nevertheless, since it's a Svek Sveka, it's able to overcome even a Shema. So that reconciles and explains why Rabbi Gamliel in our Mishnah says the Chazak is accepted, but in the Mishnah Edios it's not. Whereas Rabbi Yeshua says the Mishnah in Edios, the Chazak is accepted, but in our Mishnah it's not. Tana Rabbanan, we learn the following Braisa, as Ezohi Almonas Isa. What is the definition of this Almonas Isa that we've been talking about the whole time? So we have three different opinions. The first one is kol she'ein ba lo mishum mamzerus, that there's no suffix at all over here, as Rashi explains, that there is no possible potential that there's a lineage problem over here with a mamzer, lo mishum nesinus, and that a lineage problem that somebody was married to a nosin, one of the givonim, that are also levola kol and possible lekahuna, but lo mishum avde melochim, and likewise there is no eved possibility over here. This goes according to the shita, the eved abo bas yisrael is a mamzer, and as the bottom two lines of Rashi points out, why bedavka is it called over here avde melochim? Because mishum avde shlomo hamelech show you ashirim, they were very strong and rich, ubal yisrael very powerful, the nosul Benos Yisrael, and they intermarried with Benos Yisrael. Of course, not allowed. Or Ukigon Zarish al Hardus, or why is it called Adi Melochim? Like the descendants of Hardus, Shahayo Evet, Lebes Hashmonoi, that he's of a lineage from an Evet, the Govra Yodo Moloch, and he overpowered his masters and eventually became the king. So that's why it says Abde Melochim. But it's true for any Evet. So when there is no Chashash at all of the Mazeris or Nesinus, or Avdus, so then the Tanakhama says that is the definition of Almonas Isa. If there is such a Chashash, then it's an Almonas Isa. In other words, where Rabbi Yoshua and Rabbi Yehuda Maseira had said that the woman is Nemanes, we trust the Chazaka, it can't be if there was a controversy, if there was a concern of Mamzerus, Nesinus, or Avde Melochim. But in the case of Cholol, so then we believe her. On the other hand, I'm Reb Meir, and we turn to you, Dalet Amud Beis. Reb Meir says, no, I disagree. Reb Meir says, Shamati, I heard, kol she'en bo echad mikol elu, it can't have any one of these disqualifications, then masiyin lakuna, then we do allow her to go and marry a Kohen. Now, this sounds exactly like the Shita of the Tanakhama. What's the difference? And the Gemara will explain in a moment, as Rashi points out, what the difference is. So we have the opinion of the Tanakhama, we have the opinion now of Reb Meir, and then we have a second opinion as to what Reb Meir said. So there are three opinions altogether. The second opinion of Rav Meir, the third opinion altogether is Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, Omer Mishum Rabbi Meir. He has a different version of what Rav Meir said. And likewise, this version of Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, what Rav Meir said, was also said by V'cheinu Yo Rabbi Shimon ben Manasya, Omer Kidvarav, also said the same way that Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar said, and that is as follows. Ezoi Almonas Isa. What is the Almonas Isa over here that Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Yehuda Maseira said is permitted? We believe her Chazaka, and she's permitted to marry Kohen. She says, "Kol shenitma bo sofek cholo." If the Salmonas Isa is a sofek cholo or not, there's a sveikus as to whether she's a cholo. So then, that's the Salmonas Isa that Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Yehuda Maseira permitted. And he adds, "Makirin Yisrael mamzerin shebeneyan vein makirin cholo shebenehem." Klal Yisrael was very much aware of who mamzerim were. That had a call to it, and they knew who the mamzerim were. But they weren't as much of a call about a halala, because a halala is allowed to marry into the kahal, just not allowed to marry a kohen, so that wasn't as well known and recognized. So this is the brisa that discusses these three opinions. And now we're going to analyze it. Omemar, we go back and analyze the Tanakhama. The Tanakhama said, Ezoi almonas isa. What is the definition of almonas isa that Rabbi Yoshua And Yehuda ben Sarah said that we believe her chazaka, and she's not psula lakuna. Kosh ein balomishum mamzerus, balomishum nesinus, balomishum avdim loch. We didn't have any one of these machlokas mixed in there, mamzerus, nesinus, or avdus. Implication being that if you did have a suffix of cholo, ha cholo, kosher, the almonas isa, that Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Yehuda ben Sarah permitted was a question of whether there was chalol mixed in. That, they said, her chazaka stands. Now, Maishna Hanach, why did the first three, the Mamzerus, Nesinus, or Eved, Avdus question that he didn't allow to marry into the Kahuna, must be because those are Daraisa, or those because they're Dinum Daraisa, you're not allowed to marry a Mamzer, you're not allowed to marry an Usin, you're not allowed to marry an Eved, so those are all Dinum Daraisa. But so too, Chol Nami Daraisa. So that can't be it, because Chol is also Din Daraisa. So that can't be what the Tanakhama differentiated between those three, Mamzerus, Nesinus, and Avdus, and allowed the Almanas Isa of Cholo Sofik mixed in to go and marry into the Kuna. So we don't understand the Tanakhama. Second, Vesu, Omer Rameyer, then we have the opinion of Rameyer. Shomati, he said, he heard, Kol She'ein Bo Echad Mikol Elu Masin Lakuna. If you don't have any one of those problems, then you are allowed to marry into Kuna. So he's saying the exact same thing as the Tanakhama, Hainu Tanakhama. What is Rameyer different than the Tanakhama? That's question number two. But so, furthermore, another question. Rav Shimon Elazar, who said over Mishum Rav Meir, as well as Rav Shimon Menasseh over Kidvarov, who also said the same opinion, this was our third sheet in the Braisa, they had said that the definition of Amonasisa, Hezo Yamonasisa, Kol Shinitva was Safi Cholo. They said that if there was Safi Cholo there, that's called the Amonasisa that Rav Yeshua and Yudim and Sever permitted to marry into the Kahuna. And they added, Makirin Yisrael Mamzerim Shemenehem, and Makirin Chalol, that they, in fact, said that Mamzerus is well-known, but Chalol is not well-known. Now, that seems like it's a retraction of the first statement. First, they say that if it's a Sofik Chalol, yes, you're allowed to go marry to the Kahuna. However, then they say that, Ein Makirin Chalol Shemenehem, wait a second, V'amris Reisha Chalol Kosher. From the fact that we say that we don't recognize the Chalol, and that seems to imply that a Chalol Sofik would ruin it. But that goes against the Reisha. So we have three problems with this Braisa and our understanding of the three opinions in the Braisa. So the Gemara reconciles them in the following way. Amar Rav Yochanan says, the idea is as follows. If somebody's accused of being a mamzer and soveyach and he protests, but if that same person is accused of being a cholol, that's the difference between the tanoim in this Braisa. That is the critical factor of this three-way machlokas in the Braisa. How does that translate out? Tanakama Savar, the Tanakama who said you have a question of Mamzeris, Nesinus, or Abdus, that's not Almonas Isa, but the implication was Cholol is the Almonas Isa, so the Tanakama Savar. Kol Psul Dukoru Le. If they call you a Psul, Vishosik, and you're silent about it, Puzzle, that shows and demonstrates Shtika Kyoda. So if they accuse you of being something and you don't protest, so then that essentially says that you agree that that psul is present. And therefore, v'ochikom Tanakama. The Tanakama is saying, Ezoi Amonas Isur, what is the definition of this Amonas Isur? If there is no question, Kol She'ein Bo Lo Shtuk Mamzerus, you don't have somebody being silent when it was called a Mamzer. The Lo Shtuk Nesinus, and they're not silent if they call you married to a Nosin. The Lo Shtuk Avdim Lochem, and there's no silence if you're married to an Eved. And the Lo Shtuk Cholol, the Tanakhama says, you're not silent at all, even if they call you a Cholol. So then that person, even though there was a question raised about them, but they're protesting about it, so they're allowed to marry into the Kuna. That's the Tanakhama's opinion. In regards to that, the Kamali Rameya, Rameya responds to that, and he says, no, Hanoch, in those three, and only those three, Mamzerus, Nesinus, and Avdus, Hanoch, in those three, who the apostle labor call? Only in those three, if the person is silent when he's accused of those three, so then Shinsi is essentially not arguing that she's asura lekahal. So in that situation, she's certainly going to be psula lekahuna, because this is a major accusation. They're saying if she's married from a mamzer or a nosin or an eved, she's not only psula lekuna, she's psula lova lekal. So she's silent about such an accusation, it must be true. We have to accept it, and therefore she's a surah of all the call, never mind to the kahuna. However, if she's only silent, Rameya says, Abol Shasuk Cholo, if she's only silent when they accuse her of being a Cholo, so then Kasha, then we do still allow her to marry to the kahuna, because she was only silent because no big deal. Why was she silent? Why didn't she respond when they accused her of being a cholol? Mishum delo ichpat le. Because no big deal. At that point, she wasn't ready to marry a Cohen. So she said, big deal. So you want to accuse me of that? It's not worth my while getting into a fight because I still can be muteris le kohol. Now, however, she wants to marry a Cohen. So we say that her silence at being accused of cholol, Rebbe says, that doesn't ruin her from marrying a Cohen. That's the second opinion. That's Rebbe's opinion. Then we have the second opinion of Rebbe, which is the third opinion overall. And to that, which was also the opinion of Shimon ben Asya, and he said, no. He said, if you had heard, the Rebbe Meir in fact says that a woman is permitted if she's silent. No, it's not the case where they called her a chol and she was silent. Elo de Korle Mams of Ishasik. She's Muteris Lovo Lakol as well as to marry a Kohen if they called her a Mams and she was silent because she says to herself, why do I have to get into a fight? Behind the Shasik, the reason she's silent is Sober Mams are Kolis, because the Mams has a voice. That's what Rav Shimon ben Elazar explained at the end of the Brisa. He says, everybody knows who the Mamzer are. That has a call to it. So everybody knows that when he's calling me a Mamzer, it's calling me a child from a Mamzer, it's not going to be true because we all know who the Mamzerim are and the person that they're calling me a mamzer from was not a mamzer. So therefore, since there's a call to this, she doesn't go and protest. Apol mamzer v'tzoveyach. But if they accuse somebody of being a mamzer and he protests, but by cholol v'shoseik sake, but he doesn't protest when they call him a cholol, then also we have to be concerned because b'hai the ishtik, when she originally is silent over here by the cholol, sova mistaya the lo mavki le mikol, she was silent because she didn't go and think it was worthwhile to go and protest. But the fact that she protested by a mamzer and she didn't protest by a cholol, so that does ruin her to marry the kuna. That's what Rav Shimon ben Elazar says. Now, we have a problem. This seems to have two other brises that contradict some of the parts of the brise that we just said. So, Tani Chada, we have one brise that says, Rav Yosi Omer, Shesok Mamzer Kosher. If you're silent about Mamzeris, you're still kosher. But Shesok Cholo, possible. But if you're silent about being a Cholo, so then you are Psulul Kahuna. Another brise says otherwise, though. The Tani Yidach, Shesok Cholo Kosher. Here it says, if you're silent about being a Cholo, then you're kosher. But Shesok Mamzer, then you're possible. If you're silent about being a Mamzer, then you're possible. So these two brises contradict each other. But as we now will explain, lo kasha, it's not a problem. They go by the different shitas of the three shitas that we just brought down in the first brisa. So this brisa that it says, the second one that says, shesok cholo is kosher ha tanakama aliba the rabbeya. That's the tanakama's understanding, as explained Rabbi Meir. It's not three separate shitas, as we just explained. The tanakama was explained first by the first opinion of Rabbi Meir, and then we had the opinion of Shimon Elazar in how he said Rabbi Meir explained the tanakama. So this second brisa that we just brought down that said shesok cholol is kosher, that goes like Rav Meir's understanding of the Tanakhama. And the first of these latter two brises that we brought down, that goes the Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar aliba the Rav Meir. That goes like the understanding of Shimon Elazar or Rav Meir that when she's silent about Mamzeris, because Mamzeris is well known, she's kosher. But if she wasn't silent about cholol, then we have to be concerned that cholola really was present in the family. And this is the way we reconcile these two brises, shows us the proper way to understand the first brisa that we had with what we thought was three opinions, but really is two opinions. It's the Tanakhama being explained by Rabbi Meir, and the Tanakhama being explained by Rav Shimon Elazar's understanding of Rabbi Meir. A little bit complicated sugya, but we go now to the next Mishnah. The Mishnah begins and tells us, Amar Rav Yossi, Rav Yossi says, Maisa, there once was a situation, Betinoki Sheyorda Lemalos Mayim Min Ha'ayin, there was a young girl who went down to the river to go and fill up the water that she was going to bring back to her family. V'nensa Nebuch, the woman was assaulted over there, she was raped, and we don't know who raped her. So Amar Rav Yochanan Menuri, Rav Yochanan Menuri Paskins, and he says, it depends. Imro Van Sheyair Masi and Lakuna, if the majority of the people of that city are perfectly permissible to go and have their daughters marry into the kahuna. In other words, there's no psul in them. So if they were to have relations with a woman, that woman would still be considered muteris l'kahuna. So then, harei zu tinasi l'kahuna. So then this young girl is also still allowed to marry a kohen. But if the majority of the people in the city were psulin, so then we wouldn't allow this young girl to marry into the kahuna. So Rav Yochanan Menuri says it depends on the majority of the population. Mar says, Amalei Rava Rav Nachman. Rava says to Rav Nachman, Rav Yochanan ben Nuri, Damar Kaman. Who is Rav Yochanan ben Nuri holding like over here? After all, Ikra Rav Gamliel, if it was Rav Gamliel from the previous Mishnayos, we said that we are nemenis, the woman is believed. So then we said that the woman is believed, afilu berov, psulin, nami, machsher. Even if the majority of the people in that town were psulin, if she says, no, I was closeted away, I had relations with a person who is not going to make me psula l'kuhuna, so then we believe her, even against the rov. Ikir Rabbi Yeshua. If you want to say that Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri holds like Rabbi Yeshua, so then Rabbi Yeshua in hell, afilu berov ksherim, even if the majority of ksherim, we unfortunately do not allow to marry into the kuhuna. We don't go and follow what she says, even if the majority is going in accord with that. So Rabbi says to Rav Nachman, who is Rav Yochanan holding like? So Rav Nachman says, Amalei, Hachi Yom Rav Yehuda Marav. This is what Rav Yehuda Marav said, and we turn to Tetzvav and Aleph. We're dealing here with a double rov. The Kronos Shel Tzipori Hoyamasa. As Rashi points out, this was the Yom HaShuk, this was their market day, a big fair. She says, Sayos, Vishayoros, Mimokum Acher, Bosham. And in addition to the majority that you have of the kosher people that live in that area, you also had another majority coming in of people that were coming to this shuk, to this big market day, and this double majority is what Yochanan ben Nuri is relying upon. So we have two roves over here, Uchid Ravami, and this goes in accord with the Ravami. So what did Ravami say? The Yom Ravami, V'hu Sha'isa Siyah Shel Bnei Yodim Kisherin Overis L'Sham. When Ravami explained the Mishnah as well, he said that this was true if you had the majority of the people in that city being kosher, and as well, you had another majority, this Siyah Shel Bnei Yodim, this group of people that was passing through, they were also Ksherim, the majority of them, if not all of them, were Ksherim, and therefore, Ravami says that you have these double majorities, then you can rely that the woman can still be not ineligible to marry a Kohen, she can still marry a Kohen. So Ravami says, like this idea as well, Uchid Raviane, and Raviane also says the same idea, the Amar Raviane, Niv Eles Vikronos Kishero Likuhuna. If she had Nebuch been assaulted, or she was having relations with someone in the Kronos, on these wagons, so then she's Sarah Lacuna. Of course, we don't understand what does that mean. Okay, the Kronos, the fact that it's on wagons, that somehow makes it Sarah. So again, no, the idea is Ella Nivelles, Bishas Kronos. We're talking here that it was the time that it was another kosher majority that was coming here, and this people on these Kronos, Sarah Lacuna, would not possible a woman for marrying the Kuna. So when you have this double majority, you have the rove of the people in that area, plus another rove coming in, so that's when Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri says, and only in that situation does Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri say that the woman is still Sarah Lacuna. Obviously, the Mefarshim point out, there are two possibilities over here, that the girl knows who assaulted her, but most seem to suggest that we're dealing here with a young girl, and she doesn't know who assaulted her, or that even if she does claim who assaulted her, we don't believe her necessarily. Now, finally, the Gemara concludes this little sugi, and it says, Avo pirish echod mi tzipori ubal. But if you're dealing over here with just one town of Tzipori, and a person comes out of his house, and Nebuch goes and assaults this woman, and there is no second group of a rove, Havlad shtuki. In this situation, the Vlad would be a shtuki, even though the majority of the people in Tzipori are considered ksherim. Nevertheless, as Rashi points out over here in Dibra Maschel, Abel Pir Shecha Mitzipari, the Adin and Vadai, the Mino Ir Haya, even though we know that this person came from the city, Avo Bishit Tzipari, Ir Shiruba, Masi and Lakuni, even though Tzipari was good, the Vlad is a Shtuki because the Bechad Ruba Lo Mechasha, because Rashi says we can't rely upon one row, and Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri's opinion would be if you only have this single row, just the city of Tzipari, so then that would not be enough. This is a good break point. With this, we conclude today's shiur.